the coin into the air. A single, sparkling bit of copper is spun through the flakes of ash. The Inquisitor saw this and smiled again, obviously anticipating Ellen's push. It assumed that its weight would transfer through the coin, then hit Ellen's weight, since Ellen would be pushing as well. Two allomancers of near similar weight shoving against each other. They would both be thrown back. The Inquisitor to attack Vin, Ellen into a pile of Koloss. Except the Inquisitor didn't anticipate Ellen's allomantic strength. How could it? Ellen did stumble, but the Inquisitor was thrown away with a sudden violent push. He's so powerful, Vin thought, watching the surprised Inquisitor fall. Ellen was no ordinary allomancer. He might not have learned perfect control yet, but when he flared his metals and pushed, he could really push. Vin dashed forward to attack as the Inquisitor tried to reorient himself. He managed to catch her arm as her knife fell, his powerful grip throwing a shock of pain up her already wounded arm. She cried out as he threw her to the side. Vin hit the ground and rolled, throwing herself back up to her feet. The world spun, and she could see Ellen swinging his dueling cane at the Inquisitor. The creature blocked the swing with an arm, shattering the wood, then ducked forward and rammed an elbow into Ellen's chest. The Emperor grunted. Vin pushed against the Koloss, who were now only a few feet away, shooting herself toward the Inquisitor again. She'd dropped her knife, but then he'd also lost his axes. She could see him glancing to the side, toward where the weapons had fallen, but she didn't give him a chance to go for them. She tackled him, trying to throw him back to the ground. Unfortunately, he was much larger and much stronger than she was. He tossed her down in front of him, knocking the breath from her. The Koloss were upon them, but Ellen had grabbed one of the fallen axes, and he struck for the Inquisitor. The Inquisitor moved with a sudden jolt of speed. Its form became a blur, and Ellen swung only at empty air. Ellen spun, shock showing on his face as the Inquisitor came up, wielding not an axe, but, oddly, a metal spike, like the ones in his own body, but sleeker and longer. The creature raised the spike, moving inhumanly fast, faster even than any allomancer should have managed. That was no pewter run, Vin thought. That wasn't even Duralumin. She scrambled to her feet, watching the Inquisitor. The creature's strange speed faded, but it was still in a position to hit Ellen directly in the back with the spike. Vin was too far away to help. But the Koloss weren't. They were cresting the hill, mere feet from Ellen and his opponent. Desperate, Vin flared brass and grabbed the emotions of the Koloss closest to the Inquisitor. Even as the Inquisitor moved to attack Ellen, her Koloss spun, swinging its wedge-like sword, hitting the Inquisitor directly in the face. It didn't separate the head from the body. It just crushed the head completely. Apparently, that was sufficient, for the Inquisitor dropped without a sound, falling motionless. A shock ran through the Koloss army.
Ellen, Vin said.
Now!
The Emperor turned away from the dying Inquisitor, and she could see the look of concentration on his face. Once, Vin had seen the Lord Ruler affect an entire city square full of people with his emotional allomancy. He had been stronger than she was, far stronger even than Kelsier. She couldn't see Ellen burn Duralumin, then brass, but she could feel it. Feel him pressing on her emotions as he sent out a general wave of power, soothing thousands of Koloss at once. They all stopped fighting. In the distance, Vin could make out the haggard remnants of Ellen's peasant army, standing in an exhausted circle of bodies. Ash continued to fall. It rarely stopped these days. The Koloss lowered their weapons. Ellen had won. This is actually what happened to Rashik, I believe. He pushed too hard. He tried to burn away the mists by moving the planet closer to the sun. But he moved it too far, making the world far too hot for the people who inhabited it. The Ashmounts were his solution to this. He had learned that shoving a planet around required too much precision, so instead he caused the mountains to erupt, spewing ash and smoke into the air. The thicker atmosphere made the world cooler and turned the sun red. 4. Sazed, chief ambassador of the new empire, studied the sheet of paper in front of him. "The tenets of the Kanzai people," it read. "On the beauty of mortality, the importance of death, and the vital function of the human body as a partaker of the divine whole." The words were written in his own hand, copied out of one of his ferrochemical metal mines, where he had storages containing literally thousands of books. Beneath the heading, filling most of the sheet in cramped writing, he had listed the basic beliefs of the Kanzai and their religion. Sazed settled back in his chair, holding up the paper and going over his notes one more time. He'd been focusing on this one religion for a good day now, and he wanted to make a decision about it. Even before the day's study, he'd known much about the Kanzai faith, for he'd studied it, along with all of the other pre-ascension religions, for most of his life. Those religions had been his passion, the focus of all his research. And then the day had come where he'd realized that all of his learning had been meaningless. "The Kanzai religion contradicts itself," he decided, making a notation with his pen at the side of the paper. "It explains that all creatures are part of the divine whole, and implies that each body is a work of art created by a spirit who decides to live in this world. However, one of its other tenets is that the evil are punished with bodies that do not function correctly." A distasteful doctrine in Sazed's mind. Those who were born with mental or physical deficiencies deserved compassion, perhaps pity, but not disdain. Besides, which of the religion's ideals were true? That spirits chose and designed their bodies as they wished, or that they were punished by the body chosen for them? And what of the influence of lineage upon a child's features and temperament? He nodded to himself, made a note at the bottom of the sheet of paper. "Logically inconsistent, obviously untrue."
"What is it that you have there?" Breeze asked.
Sazed looked up. Breeze sat beside a small table, sipping his wine and eating grapes. He wore one of his customary nobleman's suits, complete with a dark jacket,